Did you know that there's only 5 days between Jesus riding into Jerusalem to people saying, Hosanna, come save us, and those very same people saying, crucify him? Within 5 days, the entire story changes. Can you believe that? I mean, how does that happen so quickly? In today's message, our senior pastor, McGray DeVega, is going to unpack that story that takes us from Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem to the cross and his death. And in there, we're going to learn a little bit about some of the ancient history that led to that moment, a key word in there, Hosanna, and what it might mean for you today to claim that word for yourself in those moments in your life where you're celebrating and then very quickly turning to tragedy and wondering, Jesus, can you save me? But also, Jesus, what do I need to be saved from? So as we unpack that today, I hope you listen to this message and take something from it that you can take going into Holy Week. Check it out.
Let's pray together. O God, open our eyes to empathy, curiosity, and humility, that we might be generous and compassionate toward others and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's some interesting and important background to today's scripture reading. It's set in the 2nd century BC, some 200 years before Jesus. The Israelite people had returned from exile centuries before, at the end of the Old Testament. But in this intertestamental period, the time between the Old and New Testaments, the Israelites found themselves as helpless pawns occupied by one ruling empire after another. First, it was the Persian Empire, the ones who allowed them to return to their homeland. And then it was the mighty Greek Empire, led by Alexander the Great. And then when he died and the Greek Empire fell, there arose a new empire out of Syria called the Seleucids. The Seleucids were led by an evil, dastardly king named Antiochus Epiphanes. By far, he was one of the most brutal people to ever rule over the Jews. He allowed them to remain in their homeland, but he issued orders to utterly eradicate their entire Jewish identity. Antiochus made it illegal to own a copy of the Torah, punishable by death, and he burned every copy he could find. He also banned observances of Sabbath and Jewish festivals. He outlawed circumcision, and mothers who circumcised their babies were killed along with their families. He placed an idol of the god Zeus on the altar of the temple, and he had a pig sacrificed on that altar. At some point, the Jewish people had had enough, so they staged a number of revolts. The most famous one was led by Judah Maccabeus, who commanded and trained Jews in guerrilla combat against the Seleucid forces. They retook the temple, and they managed to survive, despite being surrounded by soldiers for 8 days. You may know the story of how a little bit of oil that was supposed to keep their lamps lit for just one more day in the temple miraculously became enough to last them 8 nights. It's the basis for the holy observance of Hanukkah. That revolt by the Maccabean forces was successful. There was later a second revolt, this one led by Simon Maccabeus, Judah's youngest brother. He commanded forces to recapture important strategic cities like the port city of Joppa and the town of Acre, as well as an important fortress called Gezer. These stories are recorded for history in the books of 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which are part of the biblical canon in other Judeo-Christian traditions like the Roman Catholic Church. They are an important part of our history as Christians. Two brothers, two leaders of revolutions, two victorious military conquests to overthrow an oppressive empire. Now, here's what's interesting about what these two successful revolts had in common. When Judah Maccabeus retook the temple, Jews from all over converged in the temple for a grand celebration and a repurification of the temple. And when Simon Maccabeus later retook the great fortress of Gezer, Jews again converged into Jerusalem for another grand celebration of victory. And both times, when the people gathered and lined the streets to celebrate military victories over the enemy, they were waving palm branches. That's the historical background behind the events of the first Palm Sunday. Because more than 170 years later, as the story of Jesus and the Gospels began, the Jewish people, once again, were being oppressed. The Seleucid Empire had fallen a century before, and now a new empire had risen to control them, Rome. They were decidedly more hands-off than Antiochus Epiphanes, but they were still very oppressive, heavy taxation, an insistence that the Caesar, the emperor, was the divine ruler, and the famous Pax Romana, keeping peace through acts of brutality and violence. And that is the setting in which Jesus arrived in Jerusalem that day. After 3 years of astonishing public ministry with miraculous healing and compelling teaching, Jesus rode into the holy city. You know, the way Mark describes the first Palm Sunday in our scripture reading today, Jesus had made a lot of plans and preparations. While he was still miles away from entering Jerusalem, he sent an advance team to get things ready. He picked the disciples who would go ahead of him. He picked the young colt that he wanted to ride into town. He picked the time he would arrive, and he picked the gate through which he would enter. But there is something he did not plan for or ask for. It was the reaction of the people. Those people lined the streets of Jerusalem just like they had 170 years prior. They tossed their outer garments on the ground just like their ancestors did. And they waved palm branches. Because they believed that when Jesus arrived, military victory had already been won. So then Jesus finally shows up, like the grand marshal of the parade. And you can just imagine the looks of confusion when he came riding in on a little baby donkey. He wasn't riding a mighty horse. He wasn't wearing armor or carrying a sword. He was clothed in humility and vulnerability and weakness. Frankly, he looked more like someone heading toward an execution. So over the next 5 days, those palm branches would grow limp and brown. The streets would scatter and empty. The disappointment and disillusionment among the people would grow as they came to realize that this Jesus was not a military hero after all. And the shouts of Hosanna on Palm Sunday would become shouts of Crucify Him on Good Friday. Hosanna is an interesting word. It's a Greek word that is the combination of two Hebrew words, Yassa, meaning save us, and Hana, meaning we beseech you, we ask you. So the crowd was yelling to Jesus, save us, we beseech you, we beg you, deliver us. Now these were earnest cries from a desperate people, a people who had been long oppressed for generations, long suffering for centuries, desiring hope. They wanted a deliverer. They wanted one on their own terms, to meet their own expectations, one that would resort to violence and fill their need for bloodlust and revenge. But their cry was understandable, just as any of us who are experiencing all kinds of needs today. Save us, Lord. We ask you. Hosanna. Maybe you find yourself saying those words today. You know, there's a passage in the Bible that I'm sure many of you know by heart. It goes like this. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's such a popular verse that we often use it as a call and response. In fact, I'll say the first part. You can type the second part in the chat section. This is the day that the Lord has made. Go ahead. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's found in Psalm 118, verse 24. It's a happy verse. It's a verse of gratitude and praise. It's an acknowledgement that each day is a gift from God, a gift to enjoy. It's a good verse, frankly, to begin each day. But what you may not know is what it says in the very next verse. Verse 25 of Psalm 118. That verse begins with, Hosanna. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord, it says. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. That's the Hebrew word Hosanna at the beginning of that verse. And it is the only time in the entire Old Testament that we find the word Hosanna. So it certainly adds a fuller dimension to that prior verse, doesn't it? So what would it be for you to begin each day by saying both verses 24 and 25 together? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Save me, Lord. I beg of you. Hosanna. That is the invitation for us over this next week and every day onward, to recognize each day as a gift and to recognize each day as a need for Jesus to save you. Save me, Jesus, from the suffering I'm experiencing. Save me, Jesus, from anxiety and worry. Save me, Jesus, from the heartbreak over harm that's been done to me, or from the grief and the loneliness I'm feeling. Save me, Jesus, from the numbness that I'm carrying over the state of the world and the troubles of so many people. Save me, Jesus. Save us. I beseech you. But praying Hosanna also brings us a challenge to remember that even though Jesus is here to deliver you, he does not always come to you on terms or timelines that you would want or expect. Just as Jesus did not come to bring an end to suffering through violence or conquest, Jesus does not always come to deliver any of us in the way that we insist or demand. Instead, Jesus comes to deliver us by inviting us to follow him one day at a time, one step at a time, even though that journey may very well lead to a cross. So how about this? Over these next days ahead, how about if you offer prayers like these? Jesus, I will follow you, even though my problems will not instantly disappear, and there may be more demanded of me than I am comfortable in offering, but you are with me today, for this is the day you have made. I will rejoice. Hosanna, save me. Or this, Jesus, I will follow you, even though this world seems so broken and hopeless, but in the day ahead, you will give me moments to make some difference in someone else's life, and you are here with me to give me the strength to do that today. For this is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice. Hosanna, save me. Or how about this? Jesus, I will follow you, even though you may disappoint me today. I will insist that something be done on my terms to meet my expectations of you, and doubts and questions may even creep into my heart, but I will not turn away from you. I will not shout, crucify, for you are with me today. And this is the day you have made. I will rejoice. Hosanna, save me. Jesus, I will follow you. On Maundy Thursday, I will break bread with you. On Good Friday, I will go with you to the cross. On Holy Saturday, I will sit in silence and prayer. And a week from now, I will come to the tomb, carrying my burdens and my sorrows. And I will discover that you have indeed conquered everything victoriously, not through violence or might, not in ways that I expect or demand, but through the power of love, through the power of self-giving sacrifice. And on that day, on the day of Easter resurrection, I will say with my whole heart, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna. Hosanna indeed. Let's pray. God, on this day, thousands of years ago, your Son rode into town to change the world forever. So open our hearts today for a fresh arrival, that we might be humble and obedient in following him to the cross. Remove from us the expectation for Jesus to bless us on our own terms, and fill us instead with a desire to die with him, that we might be raised to a new life beyond our expectations. Hosanna, save us, we beseech thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you found this message helpful. I think it was interesting to unpack that word, Hosanna, and then to unpack that common sing-songy Bible verse of this is the day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Both of those things are true, right? Rejoicing and, oh my gosh, God, save me. Oh, things are great and, oh my gosh, God, I need you because things aren't so great if I'm really honest about it. Maybe you can connect with that. Maybe you did connect with that through the sermon, or maybe you know somebody who needs to hear that message. If you do, share this message with them. And if you want to connect deeper into our community, you can go down into the notes section below, where we have next steps, we have groups you can join, we have reflection questions where you can talk about this content with a friend or with your community, or you can join one of our small groups. We look forward to seeing you throughout Holy Week and maybe even on Easter Sunday, online or in person. You can find out about all of that at hydeparkumc.org/Easter. I'm Matt Hotho. We'll see you next time.